You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on The Lutheran Hour. Its title, Resolved, More Sacrifice. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
Hop in your car on a Sunday afternoon, take a drive into the country, and what will you see? Cows, sheep, pigs, pigs. Last October, I visited New Zealand and Australia. Last October, you remember, there was no World Series because of the baseball strike. There was no hockey because of a lockout. And there were fears that the basketball season might not start because of labor problems. All that was in the air last October when I read the following column by Robert Lucetich in a newspaper called The Australian. That gust of wind lashing the Australian coast on the weekend was no readily explained meteorological phenomena. It was, in fact, the collective sigh of relief released by tens of millions of desperate Americans upon learning the professional basketball season would begin as scheduled on Friday. An air mass doubled in magnitude by their wives' sighs of dejection. Life has been near unbearable for a nation of sports pigs whose trough has been barren, save for Sunday's NFL games and Saturday's college football. This is a people used to round-the-clock sports coverage, games timed to start by television ratings charts almost every day of the week. A nation of sports pigs, the columnist called you Americans. Is that an insult? It might also be the truth. Australians like their sports, just as people all around the world like their sports. But Americans have really pigged out on sports. I'm not here to bash sports. My message is about sacrifice. You know, thy will, not mine be done. All of us like to do something or other, but if we spend too much time and energy doing what we want, we're running the risk of losing our way to heavenly glory. The way to heaven was laid out by God. And if you're putting most of your energy into what you want, rather than follow His directions, you're not going the way to heaven. 1 Peter 4, verses 7 through 11 say, "The end of everything is near. Therefore, practice self-control and keep your minds clear so that you can pray. Above all, love each other warmly, because love covers many sins. Welcome each other as guests without complaining. Each of you, as a good manager, must use the gift that God has given you to serve others. Whoever speaks must speak God's words. Whoever serves must serve with the strength that God supplies, so that in every way God receives glory through Jesus Christ. Glory and power belong to Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen." Forever and ever, Peter says. The end of everything is near, he says. Life is not a drive in the country. Life is a serious journey toward eternity, and the destination is coming closer all the time. For Christians, the journey toward eternity means traveling the way to heaven. It was the sacrifice. There's today's word, sacrifice. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ that put us on the way to heaven. On the trip that I and some friends took to Australia and New Zealand, we spent a lot of time driving in the country. We saw cows and kangaroos, pigs and emus, and sheep. These sheep reminded me again and again that it was the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that has put you and me on the way to heaven. In New Zealand, there's a place called the Agrodome. It's a working sheep ranch that also puts on shows for tourists. Part of the show is the shearing of a sheep. the big sheep is set on its haunches, and the shearer works it over from top to bottom, clipping off every bit of wool. Now you would expect the sheep to struggle, but it didn't. You would expect it to squirm and try to get away, but it was content to be sheared. You would expect it to bleat and cry out, but the sheep was perfectly still. It didn't mind the sacrifice. That's a picture that the Bible uses to teach us about Jesus, to teach us that at the cross of Calvary, Jesus let himself be shorn of life, so that you and I could be forgiven and look forward to a resurrection unto eternal life in heaven. Isaiah 53 says that the Lord has laid all our sins upon Jesus. He was abused and punished, but he didn't open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. He was like a sheep that is silent when its wool is cut off. He didn't open his mouth. Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, is our motivation to live lives of sacrifice as we journey closer and closer to eternity. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, "Place your confidence completely in what God's kindness will bring you when Jesus Christ appears again." Because you are children who obey God, don't live the kind of lives you once lived. Once you lived to satisfy your desires because you didn't know any better. Peter doesn't use the word, but when he says, "Once you lived to satisfy your desires," I certainly picture a pig bellying up to the trough. And then Peter goes on to say this, "If you call God your Father, live your time as temporary residents on earth in fear. He is the God who judges all people by what they have done, and he doesn't play favorites. Realize that you weren't set free from the worthless life handed down to you from your ancestors by a payment of silver or gold which can be destroyed. Rather, the payment that freed you was the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb with no defects or imperfections. He is the Lamb who was known long ago before the world existed, but for your good, he became publicly known in the last period of time. Through him, you believe in God, who brought Christ back to life and gave him glory." So it was sacrifice, the sacrifice of Christ the Lamb, that put you and me on the way to heaven. And because Christ's sacrifice put us on the way to heaven, sacrificial works should characterize our journey as we move ever closer to seeing Jesus face to face. Sacrifice means work, and work isn't always a pleasant prospect. Do you welcome interruptions with a smile, or do you grumble about people imposing on your time? If you're retired, you know by now what gifts God has given you. Do you use them for the good of others, or do you say, "I'm retired, let someone else do it"? Are you inclined to see your life as your life, your business and no one else's? Or do you see your life as a gift that God has given to you and a trust for which he will expect an accounting at the end of your journey? Sacrificing your own desires in order to serve others is work, but it's work you'll choose because Christ the Lamb of God sacrificed himself for you. As we Christians resolve to do more and more sacrificial works, we will be making a positive impact upon this society. Cal Thomas is a conservative political commentator. Just as the Australian sports writer had some pointed words about a nation of sports pigs, Cal Thomas wrote some pointed words last July for us Christians. "For most of this century, the Christian church," he says, "has been in self-imposed exile. It taught that politics and the kingdom of this world were headed in a direction opposite to the kingdom of God. Then it reemerged on the scene in the 1980s. Appealing to a standard of righteousness that was no longer held by large numbers of people. To many, it seemed that the church was asking government to do its work for it, imposing piety from the top when the church had failed to shore up virtue from beneath. Christians need to come back into the mainstream and win back the culture and the nation by the superior power of their ideas. They should be demonstrating with their lives, as well as their voices, why their ideas are better than those now holding sway in America. And I might add, in many other countries where our broadcast is heard. Cal Thomas says, Christians have a responsibility to slow down the spoilage of the kingdom of this world, but they cannot do this through the arm of the state alone. Moral power, not political power, is the superior force. If Christians will begin living what they claim to believe, loving their enemies, praying for those who persecute them, becoming a friend to sinners, even pro-choicers, a new kind of power would be unleashed on the land. It might produce something called revival, which would create the social conditions Christians now say they want. What Cal Thomas is laying before you is sacrificial work that will benefit the society. We Christians are going to heaven, and heaven is called eternal rest. But what does it mean to rest if you haven't been working? When we get to the end of our journey, Christ will greet us and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But the sequence is to work, to do well now during our earthly journey, and then to receive the accolades and rest when we finally enter heaven. Now, I'm not talking here about becoming a workaholic. Go ahead, watch the football game. Take a nap. Pace yourself. Take time out for weekly worship and time off for daily devotion. In Mark 6, verse 31, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let's go to a place where we can be alone to rest for a while." Since heaven is going to be a fantastic eternal rest, we do need to practice up for it. So I'm not saying that sacrificial living means being a workaholic. I am complaining about the mindset of many Christians today who are trying to have a life of rest before it's time, a life of self-indulgence before a life of sacrificial service. Too many are trying to fashion for themselves creaturely rest when our Creator wants us to be working for His glory and the good of others. I'm talking about love. The life of sacrifice is the way of love. Love each other warmly, admonishes 1 Peter 4:8. The sacrifice of Christ the Lamb is the perfect demonstration of love. The greatest love you can show is to give your life for your friends, Jesus says in John 13. And that's what He did on the cross when He died for your forgiveness, your life, and your salvation. This Lamb says, "Love each other as I have loved you." He calls us to lives of sacrifice, not lives of self-indulgence. He doesn't call us to belly up to a trough of our own choosing, but rather, as Paul says in Galatians 5 verse 6, what matters is a faith that expresses itself through love. Just as regular rest and devotion prepare you for eternal rest, works of sacrificial love make you anticipate the life to come. Heaven's eternal rest will also be the unending enjoyment of perfect love. It will be the full consummation of the love that Paul describes in 1 Corinthians 13. Love, he says, is patient. Love is kind. Love isn't jealous. It doesn't sing its own praises. It isn't arrogant. It isn't rude. It doesn't think about itself. It isn't irritable. It doesn't keep track of wrongs. It isn't happy when injustice is done, but it is happy with the truth. Love never stops being patient, never stops believing, never stops hoping, never gives up. Love never comes to an end. Three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the best one of these is love. It's not a ride in the country. It's the way to heaven, a way marked by faith, hope, and love. Faith is what the Spirit works in us, obedience to the truth of the gospel. Hope is our confidence toward the future, knowing that our faithful God will keep His promises to us. And love, when the journey is over, only when the journey is over, will lay faith and hope aside and dwell forever in God's perfect love. That's His will. May it be done in your life. Amen.
hope you've enjoyed this message brought to you by Lutheran Hour Ministries.